I want to start today with a couple of stories for you. So these four preachers, and this is not a true story. Maybe it is, but I'm not like saying this because it happened. These four preachers, they would meet together and they would hang out together and they eventually got to know each other really well. And one day one of them said, look, our people come to us and they pour their hearts out and they confess sins and needs, and let's do the same amongst each other. Let's get to know each other a little bit better and confess these things. It'll be good for our souls because we don't really, as pastors, don't have anywhere to go to confess. So let's confess one to another, and it'll be good for us. So they all agreed, and the first guy comes and he confesses. He says, I like to go to the movies and sneak off on Wednesday afternoons and go to the movies by myself and watch something that's out. I'll confess to you, I really do that. The second pastor, he confesses, I like to smoke cigars. And the third one, he says, I like to play cards. And they got to the fourth one, and he wouldn't say anything. He was just standing there, and he was just looking at him. He wouldn't say a word. They're like, come on, man, all three of us agreed we were going to be transparent with each other and build some community and have some authenticity between us. What's the deal? What's your secret? What's your vice? What's your thing? Come on. And he looks at him and he says, well, it's gossiping and I can hardly wait to get out of here. So there was a rabbi in this small city, and there was a man who really didn't like the rabbi. He would talk about him constantly. He was always talking about him and making up stories about him and trying to turn people against him. And one day, God revealed to him how wrong he was for that. And he had this remorse on his life and this conviction on his life. And he said, I need to ask for forgiveness. I need forgiveness. And he ran to the rabbi and he said, how can I make amends? How can I understand what I've done? What can I do? And the rabbi sighed. He said, I forgive you, but he said, I want you to take two pillows, and I want you to go. These are back in the day, so imagine big feather pillows. And he said, I want you to go to the public square or downtown. I want you to stand amongst all the people, and I want you to cut the pillows wide open and wave them in the air, and then I want you to come back to me. So he did exactly that. He ran to the town square downtown. He cut the pillows open. He waved them in the air, and he ran back to the rabbi, and he said, okay, I've done exactly what you told me to do. I've done exactly what you told me to do. And the rabbi said, good, and he smiled at him, and he said, go back to the town square. The man said, and what do I do? I go back to the town square. What do I do? He said, and collect all your feathers. That's what gossip does. Did you hear? Hey, did you hear? Did you hear? Today, I want to talk about who we are, what we're made of, what I believe I know you are as followers of Christ, and what your identity in Him gives you. The title of my message today is, Did You Hear? Did you hear? I don't know if you know this or understand this, but there's this thing that happens when you put a large group of people together. Whenever you take a lot of people and you put them in community together and you put them together, that can be a family unit, that could be at the workplace, that could be the treadmill section at the gym, it could be Chuck E. Cheese while the kids are playing, it could be the coffee shop, it could be hidden in text messages, and yes, it can even be in the church. This thing called gossip. This thing called gossip. Did you hear? Have you heard? Do you know about? Gossip rears its ugly head just about everywhere. Man, y'all looking at me serious today. Y'all didn't expect this, did you? We find all throughout the scripture it telling us time and time again, don't gossip, don't slander, don't spread falsities about people. Yet so many of us find ourselves down the bunny trail time after time. And I'm here to tell you today, church, that the road of, did you hear, only has one destination, and it's destruction. Man, I'm preaching, but y'all looking at me funny because you don't like the truth. The road of, did you hear, only has one destination, and that destination is destruction. It will destroy your relationships with friends, family, and even Christ. It'll tear apart your ability to see others through the lens of Christ. It'll destroy your ability to see yourself and your identity in Christ. It'll rip apart your reputation and your honor, and it will cause you to dishonor those closest to you. Did you hear? Destroys. And if you leave with one thing today, leave with, did you hear? Destroys. Proverbs 16:27 says, and you don't have to turn there with me, I got a few to read to you, says, a wicked scoundrel wants to dig up dirt on others only to spread slander and shred their reputation. A twisted person spreads rumors. A whispering gossip ruins good friendships. 18:21, your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. 20:19, a blabbermouth will reveal your secret, so stay away from people who can't keep their mouths shut. 18:6-8, a senseless man jumps headfirst into an argument. He's just asking for a beating for his reckless words. A fool has a big mouth that only gets him into trouble, and he'll pay the price for what he says. The words of a gossip merely reveal the wounds of his own soul, and his slander penetrates into the innermost being. Man, I can keep going. Better yet, the word could keep going, because that's the Bible telling us that. First, I want to look with you at what is gossip rooted in. What is gossip rooted in? Where is its root? What's the source? One, a false narrative. What? A false narrative, assumptions. Proverbs 26:20 says, it takes fuel to have a fire. A fire dies down when you run out of fuel, so quarrels disappear when the gossip ends. And you want some wisdom, read the Proverbs. Quarrels disappear when the gossip ends. Don't fuel the fire. But so many times we're burning our own houses down. How do we burn our own houses down? With assumptions. Assumptions are a huge thing in our life. How many of us here, and you don't have to raise your hand because I've done it, I'll raise my hand for you, have assumed things about other people without knowing a clue about what is really going on in their life or why they've done what they did or what we think they did? I've done it. We've all done it, right? We assume that because they didn't tell us hello, they're mad at us. We assume that because we didn't get an invite to that function that, oh my God, they've written me off. We assume that because they didn't double-click on our photo on Instagram of our new puppy or our lunch from Friday that, oh my God, something has to be wrong. They have to be mad at me. They don't like me anymore. And what's our usual first response? Defense. Defense. We want to defend. And I've seen it time and time again that defense turns into destruction. Because defense morphs into slander and gossip. What? Well, something must be wrong. Hey, are they mad at me? Are they mad at me? They didn't invite me to that party. They didn't like what I posted. They didn't share my thing. Are they mad at me? Are they upset with me? Well, I don't know, but did you hear about Well, I don't know, but somebody told me. And what started out as wanting to defend ours, I need to just defend my sacred honor. They're mad at me. And then what's crazy is they, when they find out, our defense turns into their offense. And all of a sudden, you've got this crazy circle of people mad at each other, and they don't even know why. Assumptions, a false narrative. And before you know it, it's he said, she said, and it's all based off of a false narrative. It's a fiction story that we've made up in our head about somebody else that's not even true. We build out this entire screenplay with characters and a story arc, and it's got three seasons, and it ends in the third, but you really want a fourth, and there's this whole thing going on, and none of it is true. And it breeds gossip, and it breeds slander, and it breeds dissension in the body of Christ and amongst friends and amongst family, because they did or didn't do something. We all know what assumptions do. This is church. Why do you think about that? Come on, man. Assumptions, a false narrative. Gossip, secondly, is rooted in our brokenness and in our flesh. In our own brokenness. Proverbs 6:8 says, the words of a gossip merely reveal the wounds of his own soul. The words of a gossip merely reveal the wounds of his own soul. What happens when we're broken? What happens when we're broken? A lot of times our brokenness will lead to breaking others. When we lose sight of who we are in Christ and that flesh man, that thing that we used to be, starts wanting to dig his way out of the grave. When we lose sight of who we are and we lose grip on how we should act, what happens? We end up using ourselves, our body, our tongue, against ourselves and others. Because the Bible says gossip is like a tasty morsel. It feels good to our flesh to know something about somebody else, and we want to tell people about it. It feels good to be justified in our gossip because they did this and everybody needs to know. Do you know what they did? Well, how do you know they did that? Well, I heard it from that person. Where did they hear it from? Well, they heard it from. So how do you know they did that? Well, I guess I don't really. It feels good to be justified. And when we lose sight of who we are in Christ, we begin to plot a course on the wide path instead of the narrow one. And we begin to focus on the pseudo-God of I instead of the real King Jesus. And y'all don't want to clap this morning because this is too real. We begin to plot a course on the wide path instead of the narrow path, and we begin to focus on me instead of him, and what happens is people get hurt in the wake. People get hurt in our wake, and I've seen it time and time again. Something so small like our tongue steering the entire ship off course. I know you've all heard it. Loose lips sink ships. But I think sometimes we sink our own boat. We sink our own boat when we lose sight of who we are in Christ. It doesn't allow us to recognize the beauty in others. When we find our identity rooted in our own brokenness instead of the righteousness of Jesus, we begin to look at other people as things that we can talk about and write off. Man, you're quiet today. might scare some people off today. Usually, what we gossip about out of our brokenness is what we see and desire that we see in other people. Did you see the car that she got? Man, stop that. You're letting your jealousy turn into slander. Stop. Did you see what she did or he did? Did you see? And so many times it's rooted in just what we desire. And we allow jealousy to take hold of our heart and turn into slander. And turn into a separation from somebody that is probably our friend that we love. Do you know who you are in Christ? And does that revelation present itself in your speech? If I am the image of Christ, is everything I'm saying what he would say about everyone else? Or does our brokenness show up? Does our brokenness well up inside of us? Did you hear? Did you hear? So I think it's pretty evident that God is not a fan of gossip. He's not a fan of slander. The Bible makes that very, very clear for us. So we've learned, what's it rooted in? It's rooted in assumptions, a false narrative a lot of times. And it's rooted in our own brokenness. Us, not what they did, but what is broken in us. What needs healing from the cross of Christ, from Calvary, in our lives. Not their lives, our lives. What does gossip do? What does gossip do? It blinds you. It blinds you. It takes away your clarity and vision to be able to see the real relationships around you. Relationships with others and relationships with Christ. It blinds you to the freedom of vulnerability with those God has placed in your life. It blinds you to the ability to be able to create new and meaningful connections and relationships. It blinds you to the greatness and beauty of Christ in others and yourself. It blinds you to who you are in him, and in turn blinds you to who other people are in Christ. When we gossip, we put on dark shades and we hope that nobody finds out what we're saying. Wait, what? But I'm still talking. Exactly. You're trying to cover something, but you're still talking. It blinds you. Secondly, it separates you. It creates a separation between you and your identity in Christ. When we gossip, okay, this might sting. You ready? When we gossip, we place a lower value on the person we're talking about than Christ has for them. We walk in and we decide that we're the accountant of the value of human life. And we're going to decide what God says these people are worth because we can make that decision with what we say. And when we slander and we gossip, we take the value of priceless that Christ has put on them, and we just go ahead and knock it down to whatever three sentences we want about what they did that aggravated us. Man, and if you're in here this morning and you're like, I feel somebody told him something about me and he's just talking, this, he's trying to talk to me. No, 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 that's not what happened. That's just called Holy Spirit. Ain't nobody told me nothing about anybody in here. And I had planned to do this like 2 months ago. So if you think I'm talking directly to you, I'm just the mouthpiece. I'm just the funnel. I'm just what God is using to say, hey, you need to fix it. You want to move on in your relationship with me, and you keep hitting that block, you keep hitting that thing, and you're saying, I can't go any further, I can't do any more, I can't go any higher. And he's saying, hey, you need to fix it. There's this thing in your life where you're talking about people, and you're deciding people's value instead of letting me do that, and you're trying to take my place, and you can't have my place if you want to grow. You got to let him have his place and lower yourself. And surrender and worship him. So if you think I'm talking to you this morning, maybe I am, but it ain't me. It's God. Man, I'm here this morning because I watched this video. I'm watching online right now because I watched this video. And all you were talking in this video about God is Papa and he loves us. And there's nothing that can separate us from his love. And I saw this video and it looked like it was just this place where I could come and get built up. Yeah, sometimes to get built up, you gotta get brought down. Sometimes you have to know the truth in order to be able to move forward. And sometimes the truth hurts. It separates you. It separates us from who we are in Christ, the image of his love. It separates us from that when we gossip about other people. And when we don't know who we are, how do we think we're supposed to determine who others are? When we don't have a real revelation and understanding of our identity in Christ, how do we think we can try to place value or put words on people? It separates you from the community God has placed you in to help you grow. What does gossip do? It blinds you and it separates you. All right, y'all have a good day. Go be depressed about gossip. Lastly, what do we do? What do we do about it? Because every single one of us in here, myself included, there is so much truth in this for us. There is so much truth in this for us. What do we do? What do we do? It's simple. Those seem to be the hardest things to accomplish, though, don't they? What do? We kill the root. We kill the root. Anybody like to do gardening in here or flower beds, landscaping? Like to do that kind of stuff? What happens when you have that? Yeah, if you do like to do that, come see me for prayer after. We'll pray for you for deliverance from that. What happens when you have a weed in your flower bed or your garden and you don't pull it out all the way? You just chop it down with the weed eater. What does it do? It grows back. And the same thing will happen in our lives. Church, we have to pull assumptions. We have to pull brokenness. We have to pull rejection. We have to pull those things out of our lives and we have to nail them to the cross of Jesus Christ. Those things have to be dead to us in order for the root of gossip to be dead in our lives. Don't just chop it at the ground level and hope it doesn't come back. Kill the root. Kill the root. Well, how do I kill the root? Become comfortable in your identity in Christ. Seek him and search what that means. What is my identity in Jesus Christ? Man, if you can find that in your life and live inside of that revelation, goodness gracious, I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but it sure does make a difference. Don't allow gossip in your life. That's a novel idea. But you don't understand. I was there, and they were just talking, and I just got pulled into it. I didn't say anything, but I just got pulled into it. I don't care if you didn't say anything. The people that are getting talked about, yeah, they don't care if you didn't say anything. The only thing you should say whenever that happens, did you hear? Nope. But you don't want to, nope. But you don't, But you don't want to, And guess what? It may cost you some relationships because some people, that's all they know how to do. But if you pray for them and you trust, maybe instead of them leaving, they'll see an example and they'll turn around and say, I got to be like that. Because if I'm willing to talk about somebody, guess what? People are probably talking about me, and we have to stop this cycle. We have to kill the root. So what do? You don't gossip, and you don't allow it in your life. Be your brother's keeper. Did you hear what so-and-so did? You know, I sure didn't, but I do know that they are loved by Jesus Christ, and they've got a purpose and a reason, and I can't wait to see what God has for them. You want to shut somebody up quick? Let those words come out of your mouth and they want to tell you something juicy. Kill the root. Don't participate. Kill the root. Did you hear? Nope. Did you hear? Nope. All cities, let's be different. Let's learn to recognize and kill the root of gossip in our lives. Let's be a church that would be brave enough to seek God and be willing to see our shortcomings in our lives in this area and then be willing to seek and pray and kill the root. Let's set the example. Let's not just go with the status quo. I know who you are. And I know that we are more. And I believe that we can be a people that will blaze trails in good speech and wholesome talk about other people. I believe we will be a church that will blaze trails in killing the root. Man, you should be standing. You should be excited. You should be. You know what's beautiful about this kind of message? Guess what? It hurt me when I wrote it. So all the stinging that you're feeling, you'll be all right in a couple of days. I wrote this a long time ago, and it hurt. It hurt because I saw the truth in it. And if you will be willing to seek God about this word and willing to go back and listen to it again and willing to go back and take what was said and apply it to your life, we could change the status quo. I mean, people just talk about each other. That's just what they do. I've said that. That's just what they do. Somebody came to me and said, did you hear that so-and-so is back there talking about you and saying something? Man, you want people to talk about you? If that's what you desire, if you want that, go into ministry. They'll talk about you. None of it's good, but they're talking about you. I used to say that. Well, you know, that's just what it is. People talk about people. But it doesn't have to be that way. If every person in this room would make a decision to change the way we respond to gossip when it's presented to us, we could change our community. We could. And man, that's not just words that I'm saying. This is just Sunday morning. Yeah, whatever, dude. No. Seriously, really, this thing will hamper your relationship with Christ. It will cut you off. It will steal who you are in Him. This is not a joke. This is something serious. Do you know who you are? Because I believe I know who you are. And I believe we can be the standard. I believe that we can stand up and in love make a difference in this. Max Lucado said, Satan's best tools of destruction are not from outside the church. They're within the church. The church will never die from the immorality in Hollywood or the corruption in Washington, but it will die from corrosion within, from those who bear the name of Jesus but have never met Him, and from those who have religion but no relationship. Let's be people full of Jesus. Let's be people full of Jesus and who he is. Let's love people. What do I do if somebody's talking bad about me? What do I do if I know that they're talking bad about me? You forgive them. You move on. What if they keep talking? Do I confront them? No. Let them talk. You just be love. Is that simple? Yeah. But it's really hard. Let's be Jesus. People around us. Let's stand. God, we come before you this morning, and I pray that these words would truly go down into our souls, into the depths of who we are, God. This wasn't me speaking, it was you speaking. God, I pray that you would come and you would give us a true revelation of this, God. That we could change our community if we would kill the root of gossip. If we would see gossip and slander disappear, man, we could change our community. God, would you make that real to us? That's not just something I'm saying, but the truth of that. God, would you reveal the root in our lives? That brokenness inside of us? That false narrative that we try to live, would you reveal that in our lives, God? Would you bring us to a point that we could pray that, God? That we could come to a point where we could pray that away, God? You would come and take that from us, that brokenness, that you would heal us, you would restore us, God. God, that we wouldn't allow gossip to blind us or separate us from you or the community you've placed us in. But God, we would learn to kill the root, that we would not allow it in our lives. We thank you and praise you for that. If you're here this morning or you're watching online with us right now and you say, yeah, I get talked about a lot, or you might even be able to admit to yourself that, man, I do that, I start that. Shouldn't do that. You say, I want to change, but I don't know how. You're talking about the cross and Jesus and nailing thing. What are you talking about? There's a man named Jesus Christ, and you've heard that name before. You know who he is, but he's not just a fictional character. He's not just somebody that you see on a crucifix in a church. He is real. He is alive, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That is a real place, praying for you, making intercession for you. And he wants to have a real relationship with you, not something where you just say a prayer and then you leave and you hope for the best, but a real open line of communication where you speak and he will speak back. He will, yes, he will. And he desires that in your life. He wants that for you. He loves you so much that he gave himself up on the cross. That really happened. And on the third day, he rose again. And he did that. So all of the wrong, all of the gossip, all of the things in your life, all of the issues that you face, the things that maybe you're watching online right now and you say, I can't go in, I'm watching online because I think the roof would cave down on me if I walked in those doors. All of those things that we hold on to, he died on the cross. He sacrificed himself so you could let go of that. He took that upon himself. He said, let me have it. I'm going to bear the punishment for that. Because I want to live with you. I want to be with you. I want to spend eternity. What do you mean eternity? You're eternal right now. Yeah, this tent may pass away, but you will live forever. And you've got a choice about where that will be. And man, I pray it would be with Christ. So if you're here this morning and it's strange and you don't have it all quite figured out yet, it doesn't really all compute, but you know that you know that you know that something is, yes, that's me. I can't make the calculation complete, but I know that that's what I need to do. We're going to say a prayer in just a second. We're going to say it all together because we're a family and family prays together. And I would encourage you to say that prayer with us. If you're here and you find yourself off track, you grew up in church, but now you're here and you say something's off. Or you've been in church your entire life, you never left, but you still are off track and you've just been playing Christian this whole time. You know, I got to get back on track. I got to get back to where I belong. Would you join us in that prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed in this place. Nobody looking around. Give the person next to you that respect. Don't look up. Just for this moment, would you pray with me? Would you say, Jesus, I'm broken. I need you. Can't do this alone. Would you come and be the king of my heart? In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in Luke that if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, literally all of heaven is in full-on party mode for you, celebrating that decision.